The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where every week, week in and week out, all seasons, market swings, hot markets, cold markets, for decades in a row, we've been here getting you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing career. Announcement for pretty much everybody who can hear my voice, because if you can hear my voice, then you can go to this meeting tomorrow night, which it's going to change somebody's life. The meeting tomorrow night, the Cincinnati REIA National Monthly Chapter Meeting, is going to change somebody's life, and it might be you. And the way it's going to change somebody's life is that somebody out there is getting ready to sign a contract on a really bad deal, or is getting ready to close a deal without the pieces in place that are normal in a deal that would protect you years in the future when a title problem comes up, or somebody is about to give money to a scammer, or get into a partnership with a psychopath. You know, stuff happens in the real estate business. There is risk, but there doesn't have to be as much of it as there is out in the world, because we need to get better at recognizing the areas of risk and avoiding them. And that's the topic of tomorrow night's meeting. Former attorney Mary Hart is going to be presenting on how to recognize and avoid risk in real estate. That meeting is free and open to the public. You just have to go to CincinnatiREIA.com and sign up to get your link. I promise you it will make you a smarter real estate investor. CincinnatiREIA.com. Sometimes here in Real Life Real Estate, instead of talking about yet another strategy or tactic, we talk about something bigger picture, something deeper than how do I find deals or how am I going to get the money to fund this next deal. We talk about the most important piece of real estate in the entire world, which is the, 7 inches or so between your ears. And that is what we're going to do on today's show. My guest is Chris Fleming from thegeniuscultivator.com. She is what I can only describe as a serial entrepreneur gone mad. Like she has been involved in so many different businesses, over the past couple of decades. And now she has kind of pushed a lot of that aside and is coaching other people how to have businesses that are not just profitable, but are also like fulfilling and fun and meaningful to you. And she's joining us by phone today to talk about how you might go about doing that too. Chris, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Thank you so much, Vina. I think I'm going to have to get myself like a t-shirt that says serial entrepreneur gone mad, or a throw pillow at the very least.
Rabid serial entrepreneur, you know, entrepreneurial ADD, whatever it is. Let's just start by you talking about how did you get to this place here now, where what you're doing is helping other people grow businesses that are more than just moneymakers.
I love that question. Thank you so much. One of the things that I realized about myself, speaking of serial entrepreneur gone mad, is that I really enjoy building businesses. I really enjoy leveling up businesses. I enjoy businesses in some sort of transition. But when it gets to the day-to-day of just keeping the wheels greased and running, I don't love that part so much. And I thought, I probably am not benefiting by continuously launching my own businesses. I've launched multiple and sold them. And I do enjoy doing that. But I thought, what if I just kept my business and helped other people through the difficult part of launching, scaling, transitioning, growing their businesses? What if I just made a business out of what I love to do and what is often the hardest part for so many people? So that's how I got to move from a serial entrepreneur gone mad to helping others go less mad. Another statistic that I came across that was part of the inspiration for my own transition to helping others was that I found, I've been studying the first generation wealthy for decades. It's always been fascinating to me. What did they do? How did they get there? How do they keep their money once they have it? What sort of habits do they have? What's their mindset? One of the things that I found is that when we are working in our own personal aptitudes, our own personal zones of genius, when we're doing things that we sincerely love to do, number one, we're happier, of course. Number two, we're more productive because we're happier. And number three, we actually are much more prosperous. We make more money when we do things that we like. And so the concept that money leads to happiness is backwards. Happiness actually helps us to prosperity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should also add, surprise, I have a cough. I opened my mouth and I have a coughing fit on live radio. I should also add that because, you know, sometimes real estate investors think they're different from everybody else. Like, you don't understand my business. My business is not like some other small business. A lot of your history in terms of what you have done for a living over the years has been real estate investor adjacent.
Absolutely. And I am personally a real estate investor. I bought my first property in 1999, and I believe it was in 2001 it became my first creative deal. I bought it with an FHA loan. And it became my first creative deal when I was selling it on a lease option, which at the time, to be fair, I really didn't even know what that was. My buyer proposed it, and I went, yeah, that sounds reasonable. And so we went with that. It did not work out well. So I've learned a lot along the way. But I am an active live and fixer. I'm too slow to be a rehabber, fix and flipper. I like to swing the hammer myself. Mm-hmm. So I have to live in it to make it make sense. We are on our sixth one of those. So we've been living in, I've been living in an active construction zone for decades. And yeah, I started my lending career in banking. I developed a niche for investment real estate, no doubt because I have that passion for it and love it. I then left banking to launch a mortgage brokerage, a licensed mortgage brokerage that was exclusively for investment real estate. We worked across 38 states. excuse me. And I have done private lending. I've managed a private fund, lots of joint ventures. So, yes, everything I do has been investment real estate or investment real estate adjacent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So listeners, don't be thinking, well, you know, I would call up and talk to her, but she probably doesn't understand what it's like to be a real estate investor, because she absolutely does. If you have any questions for Chris, 877-772-9658, 877-772-9658, or you can send it via email to vinaradio@gmail.com. We'll be back right after this. Yeah. Live radio, woohoo! Talking today to Chris Fleming. She is the owner of thegeniuscultivator.com. And that sounds like, oh, she's going to take you and raise your IQ to 250. And that's not quite it.
That would be really fun. And I wish I had that magic formula.
Yeah. And I think you would be a zillionaire. I think there's a lot of people that would pay a lot of money to do that. I believe that the name of your company comes from this idea of a genius zone, of that we have genius zones and we should be working in those genius zones. And I think you're going to need to explain what a genius zone is.
Absolutely. And you are absolutely correct. So the genius cultivator, a lot of people sort of accuse me humorously of, oh, you're saying you're a genius? And then, no, I'm saying you're a genius and I help you grow. That's the cultivator portion. So each and every person has their own personal aptitudes, things that they're really good at, things that they really love to do, that they, they just sort of get into the zone when they're doing those things. We've all heard stories of, small children who sit down at a piano. 3-year-old child who's never had lessons in their life, and they sit down at a piano for the first time and they just play. Or the child who, has this genius level of being able to just get math. They can just visualize it. I mean, we've got movies like Good Will Hunting, right, where he just gets it. And he doesn't necessarily get everything, but he gets that. And so that is the premise of the genius cultivator, is that each one of us, we may not have these internal superpowers to the level of these very dramatic stories that we've heard, but each one of us has something that we do better than any of the other things that we do. It is the best thing that we do. And the things that we do best, the activities, the concepts where we connect with ourselves, our brains, our natural wiring in our brains in that way, they tend to automatically make us more fulfilled when we invest time in those activities. So the premise for business owners and entrepreneurs, as you said, real estate investors tend to, have this attitude that, or this perception, but my business is different. My business is unique. And I would say I would apply that more broadly to entrepreneurs of many varieties. Is my business is different, my business is unique, and that's great. So are you, which is exactly why it is more profitable for you to build a business around the things that you love to do. And just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. We tend to be very resourceful, self-reliant folks, the entrepreneurs. We're a special breed. Real estate investors certainly are no exception to that. And so we tend to believe if somebody else can do it, then I can do it and probably better. Okay, we all believe that you can. That doesn't mean that you should, because there are only so many hours and minutes in a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So bringing this genius zone idea to the level of a business. Because I'm thinking a lot of people are going, well, my genius zone is I am a quilter, I'm great with animals, things like that. Within a real estate business, there are, and I don't care what your strategy is, mm-hmm. wholesale, retail, rent, group houses, whatever you want to do, there mm-hmm. are 1 zillion things at any given moment that you could be doing. Mm-hmm. Or that even you might think you should be doing. There's maybe only half a zillion that you think you should be doing. And it's very overwhelming. I talk to a lot of people in the real estate business who they're just like, they're frozen like a deer in the headlights because their business has gotten successful and that has just led to more and more stuff to do. Mm-hmm. You're saying that there's some of that stuff that if they could just peel that away, that would be within their genius zone. And if that was all they had to do, they would be super happy.
Yeah, that's what the research, the science tells us. When we look at the neurology of the human brain and how we're wired to function, that's precisely what the data tells us. And so, you know, I would love to use the example, if I may, to continue what you said about, well, I really love animals. That's my passion. How am I going to integrate that into my real estate business? Well, let's look at why you love animals. Why is that something that connects so deeply for you? Some assumptions that we can make about someone that deeply loves animals is that they tend to be very patient people. They tend to be natural nurturers. They tend to not be terribly chatty. Animals don't talk back. And so people who are animal lovers often appreciate the nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. So when we take those qualities of that person, those natural strengths and enjoyment of that person who loves animals, how can we apply that to their real estate business? Well, if there's someone who's very patient and appreciates nonverbal communication, perhaps they would be best to communicate via written communication and not a lot of phone calls or door knocking, you know, in person. Not to say you can eliminate that entirely, but if they build a business centered around their own strengths and how they prefer to work, they're going to be happier and more effective. If they're a very patient person, such as someone who typically loves animals, then perhaps they would be well suited into a tactic or a strategy that is more complicated than others and takes more time, but is well suited for someone who is attentive to the details and can find the missed opportunities that someone who's on a much faster personal mental track would miss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I get it. I can list 10 things in my real estate business that if all I had to do was those 10 things day in and day out,
uh-huh,
I would just have the best business in the whole world. I almost wouldn't even care if I was making money. but the reality is I have to make money. And that list of 10 things is 10 out of literally 100 that really do have to be done to keep the business running,
mm-hmm,
right? Somebody like, I really enjoy dealing with the sellers. I really enjoy trying to find like creative solutions they don't know about that are better for them than, mm-hmm, what they thought they wanted when we first talked. I like, you know, looking at properties. I like estimating repair costs. I'm really good at all of that stuff. But once all that's done, somebody still has to go through the gory details of putting the paperwork together for the closing. Somebody's still got to take that property and put it on the market to rent and. So this idea of I should work in my genius zone is awesome. However, I do in fact need to make money. So who's doing all this other stuff?
That is such a great question. There are multiple answers to that, and I will start with my favorite, which is finding people whose zones of genius are not yours, that are opposite of yours, that are complementary to yours, and exchanging labor. I don't love necessarily every part of my business, but I have some really great unofficial business partners that we trade labor. I look at stuff for them. I do stuff for them. They do stuff for me. And we pay each other a fair rate in the exchange of labor. So we're not necessarily coming out with cash, but we're taking good care of each other in that manner. So that's my first option and my favorite because it directly benefits other people. The second is automation. I try to automate as much as possible, and with the rapid ongoing development of AI tools, I absolutely love setting things so that they just pop up on my calendar with reminders, and they automatically send emails, and so much of anything I can automate, I want to automate, because technology is not my favorite. I would rather stab myself in the eye with a fork than manage my tech stack. So that's a wonderful way to get things off my plate. And then at the end of the day, you know, obviously delegate, right? That's so easy. And probably where everybody thought I was going to go first. But when we're startups, we don't necessarily have the funds to delegate, which is why the first two ways are low cost, low lift.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't be unrealistic and say, I will never have to do the things that I don't want to do. I mean, there are things that we have to do that we don't want to. And the point is not necessarily to eliminate everything that we don't like. The point is really to create a filter for what are we going to say yes to.
Mm.
So one of the things that happens quite a bit with entrepreneurs and real estate investors in particular is sort of this shiny object syndrome, right? Oh, that looks like an amazing deal, and I know how to do that. Okay, but does it align with your long-term goals? Does it align with your zones of genius? Does it align with your core values? If it doesn't, even if it's a great deal, it may not be the great deal for you, because while you're pursuing a great deal that you perceive as a great deal that is not in alignment with your long-term goals and your personal zones of genius, you're very likely missing out on better deals that are in alignment and would actually net you more money.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is to be protective of our time and our efforts, building boundaries and filters around what we say yes to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, I don't know, it feels like small real estate investors have been largely following the same calf path for, well, at least as long as I've been around, and probably as long as my mm-hmm. dad was around. So let's call it 50 years. This has been the case, that they see other people doing things that they both don't like and are not good at.
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, my genius zone is in that quadrant of things that I both like and am good at. Okay. And,
mm-hmm.
and yet I think people go through entire, you know, decades long real estate careers doing things that they don't like and are not good at, and that somebody else actually would like and would be good at and would free
yes.
them up to do other things, because that's what they see other people doing.
Yes.
It's strange in our business how few people ever think to trade, you know, hey, you love talking to people on the phone. I hate it. I'm going to have all my seller calls directed to you. You talk to them, tell me what they said, and I'll figure the deal out. Right. And,
yes.
and we'll figure out a way that either I can help you, or maybe we split up that deal somehow. Right. There's
uh-huh.
there's more than one way to skin that cat. Other businesses, I think, are just, I think they're just more likely, in other businesses, the owners are more likely to, at the beginning, say, the business I am trying to create is one where, you know, I do what I want to do, and other people, or, you know, ChatGPT or, you know, something does mm-hmm. everything else. So I think it's a real mindset shift for a lot of people to even realize that what you're talking about can be done.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And let me say too, that this concept of, you know, working together and exchanging labor, I started out years ago by basically partnering with as many people, like formally LLC partnering with as many people as who wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I chuckled when you said in your introduction about partnering with psychos and getting the answers to that tomorrow. I had a good laugh here, because I'm definitely guilty of that a few times.
Yeah, I think we've all done that.
Yeah, Yeah. And so one of the things I've learned about formal partnerships is while it can seem like so much fun and yay, you get to work with your friends, you can't fire your partners. It's really difficult to do that. So I'm not trying to poo-poo partnerships, but I am going to say, think of them like a marriage. Hopefully you're not getting married to do it for just a short time or, a short project. It's a major commitment, and the right person needs to be chosen. So I now deeply prefer these exchanges of labor, exchanges of knowledge, as I mentioned, rather than 1 year I filed. This is probably nothing to you. I don't know what you do, but 1 year I filed tax returns on 17 LLCs, and I went, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not a good time.
This is not in my genius zone. Okay, so when we come back, we'll continue talking to Chris, answer your questions at 877-772-9658, or if you want to send them to vinoradio@gmail.com. If you have a question for that you don't really want me to read your name on the radio, you can tell me that, if there's something you're struggling with, we're open to any of that sort of thing. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. My guest today is Chris Fleming from the Genius Cultivator. Just want to remind listeners that we are at that time of year when the National Real Estate Investing Summit is coming up here in Cincinnati, October 30th through November 2nd. Every year, the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association donates some tickets to WMKV as part of its fund drive efforts, so that you can go to the event, but also the money that you spent to go to the event goes to public radio. So it's like, double win. You get to hang out with a bunch of really fun, awesome, active real estate investors for 4 days and also say, hey, I supported public radio. I did my job. This year's deal is there are 28 of these tickets left. $247 will get you a seat for one person. $347 will get you a seat for two people. If you are one of the 28 people who pledge, the special extra bonus this year is that if you pledge through WMKV, you also get a complete How to Do Subject 2's class that includes the education, how to deal with the due on sale clause, the paperwork you need, people that you should not do Subject 2's with because you will ruin their lives if you do. It's a very good course. It's $297 all by itself, but it is yours along with a ticket to the National Summit with your pledge of $247 at wmkvfm.org. At the moment, that is the only way that you can get a ticket. I mean, you could get one from the National Summit, but then you would pay the same amount of money and not get the special bonus. You have to go to wmkvfm.org, scroll to the bottom of the page, and you will see a thing that says National Summit. Click on that, and that will get you your ticket or tickets and your free Subject 2 course. We're going to go to the phones right now and talk to Russell on line one in Connecticut. Russell, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hi, how are you? Welcome.
I'm good, Russell, but you sound like you're talking out of a tin can. Do you have a headset on?
Is this any better?
Yeah, it's a little better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I guess it was looking kind of like an inventory of talents, and I have some talents that are totally unrelated to real estate, travel and language and music and that sort of thing. And I guess that might loosely relate to creativity or something like that. I was trying to figure out, okay, where's the connection back to real estate? And, thinking on one's feet or something.
Well, Chris is a coach. Let's let Chris coach you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me maybe one or two of the talents that you have that you really love and how you don't necessarily see that it relates to your real estate business.
Well, I'm multilingual. I lived in China right after college and studied Mandarin, taught English, and then lived in Korea. So taught English there and studied Korean, and I'm told that I have a very close ear with languages, and I love it. That's one of the things I love, and I'm part of some online language classes and music, which ties into music. Grew up, mom was a piano teacher, and I learned violin, and then went into singing from there. So those are just a couple of things right there.
Yeah, I can see how the neural pathways of those two talents are very likely closely related. I do need to disclose I am not a neurologist. I just like to read what they write. But one thing that comes to mind fairly quickly with the language component is a lot of major cities have particular pockets of populations that, I believe you said Korean, perhaps there's a Korean pocket of population. Right. And so would you build a niche around working in your investment real estate journey with that population? I would imagine you're not going to have a ton of competition there, which immediately puts you right towards the top of the list of people to call when there is an issue, a real estate issue for folks, and that's their native language.
Yes. In fact, I was talking with a coach in New Jersey years ago, and they were suggesting that in Fort Lee, which is an example of one community that Fort Lee, Hackensack area, is heavily Korean.
Okay. All right.
So it's kind of right up that alley.
Excellent. Yeah, I would use those potentially to brainstorm around niching out your real estate. One of the values of really tapping into your personal zone of genius, and let me say very clearly, this is not a destination. This is a journey. This is just constantly improving every day. How can I get a little closer to more of what I love and less of what I don't? So, none of us arrive. However, thinking about the language and even the music component, really tapping into our personal zones of genius helps us to narrow our niche, to improve our ability to attract the right people and the right deals. So when we try to be everything to everyone, like a Walmart, we get Walmart quality and Walmart prices. But when we niche in to our specialties, the people who need us the most can find us more quickly, and we get a premium reward for that because we don't have a lot of competition in that niche.
Right, and others know how to assist you that person because they know what their niche is and they have a very, it's specific.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, Russell, when you said I speak Chinese, my first thought was, do you know how much Chinese money is coming into real estate in the United States from China? And do you know?
A lot. So there's been, and likely because the economy in China has been crashing for the last decade or so.
Yeah. Well, and do you know how many people would probably be willing to pay you to go to China and speak to Chinese people about real estate in order to raise money and might compensate you in money or might compensate you in pieces of their syndication? Like, I thought of all I was immediately like, man, he should be using that. And you could get to go back to China on somebody else's dime.
Exactly.
There we go.
As long as I'm not indefinitely detained, right? A lot of stuff has been going on over there. So yeah.
All right. Appreciate your call, Russell, and your willingness to coach Russell, Chris. You've now been coaching for long enough that you've worked with a lot of business owners.
Yes.
And how can you tell, like, if you're talking to a business owner about what's going on with them, how can you tell without them saying so that they are operating outside of their genius zone?
They're so tired. They're working endless hours. They feel like they're not making a ton of progress, and they're facing burnout.
Oh, well, that was a lot simpler than I thought it was going to be.
When we're working in our zones of genius, it invigorates and energizes us. And again, because of the data that tells us that working in our personal zones of genius makes us not just happier, but also more effective, more productive, more prosperous, we're making more money. And so we don't have to work as many hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the hours we do work, we're happier about. So we don't get the, as they say, the Sunday scaries, like, oh, I got to go back to work tomorrow. I mean, we still have to do stuff we don't necessarily like, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's far less impactful to our overall lives.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it hard? You mentioned the shiny object thing before. Do you find it hard, even when people have like hired you to coach them, to get them to give up things that they see as being highly profitable that really don't fit their skills and talents and likes?
Yes, absolutely. Part of that stems from, the eagerness, right? We, as real estate investors in particular, I think we can visualize the future very well. That is one of the components of what it takes to be a good real estate investor. We can visualize a property and what it's going to look like in the future when we're done with it, or a deal or a scenario. And not everybody can do that. So the people who have that aptitude are already drawn to real estate. It's not universal, but it's pretty consistent. Beyond that, though, as you said, we are a unique breed, and we feel that if somebody else can do it, then we can do it better. And again, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. So I tell people that I ask questions for a living. I'm a professional question asker. And when I have these folks who, you know, I'm coaching them, they're paying me for my thoughts and my time, but they still are having a difficult time letting go of the shiny objects or the shiny object syndrome, we go through that filter. One of the first steps is to build that filter of what we're going to say yes to. Does this align with your personal zones of genius? Is this going to make you happy? Does this align with your long-term goals? Is it going to get you where you want to go? Mm-hmm. If the answer is no to those things, then you shouldn't do the deal. Now, if you choose to do it otherwise, well, that's, I mean, it's your life and I can't live it for you, but, thanks for your payment.
Yeah, but, in some sense, you can't see any other way to do things until you've started saying no to the way you've been doing things. I think the most freeing thing that anyone has ever said to me about my real estate business is you should recreate your business so that you don't ever have to do a rehab.
And on your business? That's brilliant.
Yeah, well, because I rehab is just one of those things that, you know, every real estate investor thinks that rehab is a part of every real estate investor's life and you just can't avoid it. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. And I was complaining to this person who'd known me for years about how, you know, we couldn't seem to keep good rehabbers and nobody on my team could seem to get along with them well enough to keep them around, and we couldn't get good work done. And he said, you know, you just need to rethink your whole business so that you never have to be involved in another rehab. And I went, I can't, but wait, what if I could? So that mind shift set is huge. We need to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more to Kristen. If you've got a question at this point, I think I'd send it to vinaradio@gmail.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to Chris Fleming from thegeniuscultivator.com. If you're listening to this and you're like vibing with what she's saying and you're like, man, yeah, I should probably sit down and just get out of the same old thinking and sit down and really consider what I would like not to do so then I can figure out how to not do it. Because you can't figure out how to not do it if you haven't decided that you don't want to do it. Chris is giving a half-day seminar. Gosh, that's this upcoming Saturday, isn't it? That is in 3 days. And it is online, ladies and gentlemen, so you can definitely attend no matter where you're listening from. She's gonna have 4 hours to get more deeply into this. I understand, Chris, that you're gonna give people some exercises to kind of shift their mindset and make them understand.
Yes, bring your pen and paper. It's very much an interactive workshop, and there's actually an award for the person who is most interactive.
Oh, uh-huh. Wow. Good. Okay. Can I win it, or is it going to be somebody else?
Yeah, you're eligible for sure. Actually, I do have a question for you, if I may.
Well, let me tell people how they can get a okay. seat to that workshop. You need to go to CincinnatiRIA.com. That's CincinnatiRIA.com. And you can either go to the calendar, you'll see the Canvas shift by at the top. The tickets are $47 if you're a member, $97 if you are not. And if you're not, I would strongly suggest that you go ahead and pay for a month's worth of membership so that you save $50 on your seat. And then also you get a month's worth of focus group meetings, networking meetings, haves and wants meetings at no additional charge, CincinnatiRIA.com. So what is your question for me?
Thinking about the person who said, what if you structured your business so that you never had to do another real estate rehab? When you come across those deals now, as I'm sure you do you have a process for what you do with them?
I do. If the house is like super duper ugly and in need of rehab, and particularly if it's not one that I'm particularly interested in holding on to, I wholesale it.
Ta-da!
I let somebody who loves to retail it. If it's a property that needs kind of like a heavy medium amount of work and it's that I'm really interested in, I've got two or three people that I can call that I've worked with before who love to rehab. And I say, I will put the deal together. I will gather up the money. You do the rehab and then we'll partner on the deal.
And is so perfect.
And we co-own it. I've had psycho partners too. And so we've got a really nailed down JV agreement that says if one of us gets unhappy, here's how we are going to, you know, buy, sell the property, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if it's only lightly ugly, and it's one that I'm not especially interested in having as a long-term rental, I sell it to a homeowner who's a contractor. Like, yeah, well, once I went, maybe he's right. Maybe I could do this without doing any rehabs. All of a sudden, the world opened up. And it's not that I never, like, I have rentals. So, you know, every 20 years, you got to put a new kitchen in your rental, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to replace furnaces. That is not... It turns out that sort of thing is not the problem. If I can just call up the furnace guy and he goes and replaces the furnace and sends me the bill, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. It was the whole planning it out and having to be there every 3 days and people asking me to choose paint colors. I don't know what paint color to choose. That was the part that it turned out I was not great at. So we only have just a couple more minutes here, Kristen. So I'm gonna ask you a really kind of big, broad question. If the folks who are listening were to take away just one thing from this conversation we've had here today, what would you want that one thing to be?
Greater happiness leads to greater prosperity. You do not have to be miserable and slaving away for money. You can be happy and have more money, which was part of the point of my question, was just because you say no to something doesn't mean you can't benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn the tables on the coach and say,
okay.
Are you willing to share with us a time when in your own business you had that realization that I'm not following my own advice here?
And, only every day. Yeah, for sure. I mean, every day there are tasks and duties that come up in my business, particularly because I'm in the business of building and transitioning businesses. So every day practically is something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely figuring out, asking my filter questions. Does this align with my personal zones of genius? Does this align with my core values? Does this align with my long-term goals? 100%. And, I am constantly networking and listening for people like yourself who have a skill set that they love to do so that I can know who to call when I come into a situation where I need something that I just don't really want to do, but I want to work with somebody who loves to do that thing. That's my primary outlet, is find a person that we can exchange talents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good, Chris, I appreciate the conversation today. I hope people take advantage of your workshop this upcoming Saturday at CincinnatiRia.com. And we will be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.